You may be seated. Well, it is still Easter, and some of you may know and be prepared for what that means. A policeman in the big city stops a man in a car with a sheep in the front seat. The surprised policeman exclaims, "What are you doing with that sheep in your car? You should take it to the petting zoo." The man replies, "What a great idea. I'd been trying to figure out what to do with this sheep in the big city." The following week, the same policeman sees the same man with presumably the same sheep again in his front seat. Only this time, the man and his sheep are both wearing sunglasses. The policeman pulls them over. "I thought you were going to take that sheep to the petting zoo." The man replied, "I did. We had such a good time, we're going to the beach this week." So that is your Easter joke for this week. And I'm glad to see that you have all opted to come and worship at Holy Trinity this week rather than heading to the beach yourselves. There's a little part of me that is always a little bit surprised and tremendously grateful that you do show up on any given Sunday. Seriously, there are so many other places you could be and so many other things that you could be doing. But this morning, you got up, got yourself ready, maybe a sheep, maybe a kid or three, and you came here. There's something here that keeps you coming back. I'm so glad you made it. We have a fabulous story about why it's important to keep coming back. Now, on that day, that same day, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, and they were talking with each other about these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. Now, that was the same day, by the way, that Mary Magdalene and her posse of faithful female disciples went to the tomb. And finding it empty, they turned to see two men in shining clothes who asked, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." That was the same day that Peter, hearing this wild, delirious tale from the women, ran and saw the empty tomb for himself. And now, on that same day, these two disciples, having heard all of these things, walk away from Jerusalem, discussing these things, when a man approaches them. They speak to him what are perhaps the three most pitiable words in the gospel. We had hoped. They and many others had hoped that Jesus was the one to redeem Israel. They had hoped for something that was based on the realm of their experience and the experience of all the generations who had come before them. They hoped for a ruler, a king, to come and overthrow the Roman occupation of their home. But what they get instead is so far beyond their experience that nobody seems to be able to wrap their heads around it. Resurrection doesn't fit their experience, nor their expectations. Their very eyes prevented them from recognizing Jesus, and they don't know what to believe. Do you ever have that experience? I mean, we come to church And we share stories of things that are, well, they're impossible. We share stories of God choosing to be born as a helpless human baby. We share stories of sight restored, Jesus walking on water, raising Lazarus from the dead, and rising to life again himself after dying a horrific death. These things are impossible. But are they unbelievable? Are they unbelievable? Is it okay to even ask that question in church? Yes, it is okay to ask those questions in church. If we're not asking those kinds of questions, we're not paying attention to the stories that we share. A small group of us have been meeting on Sunday mornings to study and talk about the very things that draw people away from church. The changing culture in which church plays an increasingly smaller and less significant role overall. You might think that those would be grim conversations, but I have found them to be lively and inspiring and invigorating. In the context of the change that we've been talking about, what we have here is a thriving community of people who are continuing to seek out this place where we tell stories of impossible things. Incarnation, resurrection, transformation. We've been talking about what the Episcopal Church and Holy Trinity specifically have to offer in a world that seems to provide whatever a person might want or need instantaneously without even leaving their homes. I was challenged in that small group discussion just last week with the observation that, in part, what we have to offer here is that we welcome everyone and their questions and their doubts. But that gift of inclusion and inquiry is rarely discussed from right here in the pulpit. We talk about it in small groups, but we don't often say out loud in our worship services, the one place where we're most likely to have everybody gathered together, we don't say out loud that having doubts and questions about the gospel is okay. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. It might be essential to a good, strong faith. Somebody said, a life unexamined is not worth living. Maybe a faith unquestioned isn't going to stand up to the changes in our culture. We need to have questions. Almost everything about Jesus of Nazareth, is impossible to prove. That's why it took the most convicted, faithful, early Christians 400 years to come up with language to talk about Jesus. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. When I teach an inquirer's class or a confirmation class, there is always one question that I get every time. What if I don't believe everything we say in the creed? Does that mean I can't get confirmed? Does that mean I can't be a Christian? Does that mean I don't belong at Holy Trinity? Well, to quote the Apostle Paul, by no means. Doubting and having questions doesn't disqualify you from being a Christian. It doesn't disqualify you from being a disciple here at Holy Trinity. even the disciples to whom Jesus appeared on that same day had doubts and questions. Not one of them recognized Jesus when they first saw him that day. Our two friends from the road to Emmaus didn't recognize him until after they shared a meal with Jesus and he enacted that Eucharistic pattern of taking the bread, blessing it, breaking it, and sharing it. Then they ran back to Jerusalem that same day and told all the others that they had seen Jesus. And you know what happened next? In that very moment, Jesus appeared to the whole group. And guess what? Luke says they were startled and terrified, and they thought they were seeing a ghost. Jesus invites them to touch and see that it is really he. And even then, Luke tells us, in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. They were disbelieving and still wondering. If the disciples standing there in the very presence of Jesus had reason to disbelieve and wonder, and could make that a part of their faith story, I guess the disciples who are meeting Jesus here today in spirit and in the breaking of the bread can have reason to doubt and to question and to wonder. And we can make that a part of our faith story too. This is a place where you can hear these stories and ask your questions and say, I wonder, what was that about? And I wonder, what are your questions? What are your doubts? I'd really like to know. Maybe I've had the same doubts. Maybe I could learn from your questions. If you're willing to share those with me, I really want to hear them. As a matter of fact, you can share them in one of two ways. There are some little cards in the pew that we are repurposing from another time when somebody asked questions. They're orange or red. There should be some right there in the pew. You can write your question, fold it up, and put it in the plate as it comes around. Or you can pull out your smartphone and you can text me. Some of you have my number, some of you don't. If you need to jot it down, this is going to need to be taken out of the audio, by the way. I want to know what your questions are, what your faith questions are, what your doubts are, what your concerns are. And I got to be honest with you, I don't know right now what we're going to do with that. Maybe we can find a way to walk along the road to Emmaus together, meeting Jesus together as we go along, asking our questions and doubting our doubts. And we'll find a way to have that discussion. I believe Jesus will be known to us in the breaking of the bread when we do that in a whole new way. Maybe this time, or the next time, or the time after that. Just as Jesus showed up again and again, meeting his disciples where they were in their doubts and in their questions, God shows up for us again and again, meeting us where we are in our doubts and in our questions. I don't know about you, but when I think about all these impossible things that happened on that day, my heart does burn within me.